copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for being here. My name is Tim Griffin. I've got a slide here to help me remember who I am. So let's see if we can make this thing work. So this is my third forum. I was here in 2013 and skipped 14 and 15. Was here last year to do a workshop, like, not on the same topic, but a workshop. And then this year, and this particular topic is one that Greg Pritchard asked me to do in 2013. And I'll tell you why. Just a little quick background on what I do and how I got to this session and how I got to the forum. So I pastored for 15 years in Southern California. If you're familiar with the United States, that is a very diverse community of people. Southern California is. So I pastored there for 15 years. I left pastoring local churches to work in a parachurch organization for 12 years. And then the last seven, I've been working at a university as the campus pastor, the dean of students, and the vice president of student affairs. And so last year I spoke on a subject related to training student leaders. But 4 years ago, when I first met Greg and we were having dinner at a place just down the highway from the hotel, and he asked me about how my week had gone. And so I was telling him about what it was like to move from workshop to workshop. And I told him about me and the fellow from my church in Southern California, or in Phoenix. We attend the same church together. We decided we were going to go down into downtown Wisla to have dinner. And when we made our way down there, in the town square, there was this huge rally car event being staged. And this friend of mine, he is a surgeon from Scottsdale, Arizona. Many of you have met Scottsdale, Arizona folks who have served here for a number of years. His name is Jeff. And so he just ignored the cars. And I said, "Jeff, they're staging for a race." And he goes, "So what? Let's have dinner." And I said, "No, I need to go see if there's any ministry going on to this community." And he kind of stopped in his tracks and looked at me. And I said, "I used to work in motorsports. And I used to do ministry in the context of motorsports for 12 years. And so I wandered over to the cars and I was walking up and down the cars like I belong there, which I didn't belong there. And I had stepped over the line on a couple of occasions and didn't even realize it. And nobody shooed me off. I just felt so comfortable in that environment. And so he took a couple of pictures of me, and then we slipped off to the side and I gave him a little bit of background. So I shared that story with Greg later in the week. And he said, "Tim, you have to speak to that subject at the forum at some point." And I said, "Well, maybe." But that was, at that point, 4 years ago. Now it's been 7 years ago, and I have been removed from the motorsports world for about 7 years. But much of my experience there really captured my heart when it comes to evangelism, when it comes to sharing the gospel, when it comes to embedding yourself into a community of people where you have an opportunity to build relationships and to serve them when they're at work and while they're at play, with individuals, with families, and it's just a wonderful environment. So I want to use that as kind of a platform for our conversation today about evangelism. And obviously you're here because you have an interest and a heart for reaching unbelievers with the gospel. And that's what kind of took me on my personal journey from pastoring in a local church, you know, that had four walls and a property line where the non-believing community stayed over there. And in the church, we tried to make it as attractive to them as possible so they would come to us. And what I learned was that it was much more energizing for me as a minister to go out there and serve people on their turf. So that is going to be a thread that's going to make its way through our conversation today about evangelism. So I brought a few pictures from my previous life. For those of you that know NASCAR, and I realize that's the great race of dinosaurs. For those of you that follow Formula One or MotoGP or any of those other forms of racing. But our champion in NASCAR, he's been a seven-time winner, was this he and his wife and his crew right before a huge race there at Daytona. And so I would walk up and down the grid to pray with each driver. And so that was a regular activity on race day. Here, this particular driver who retired last year, his name's Tony Stewart. This is the driver and his team. And he asked me to come and pray with them because they had somebody on their team who had fallen ill. And they were concerned about him. And so I was praying with the entire team, not just the driver. So here was a crew member. This guy used to work closely with Jeff Gordon. Some of you may know that name if you're a motorsports fan. And here's Jimmy and I in a conversation. We had these kind of conversations on the starting grid week in and week out as I would make my way from car to car to pray with drivers and teams along the way. The only reason I mention that is because it is a little bit of a snapshot for what it was like for me to experience building relationships with people in the places where they worked and where they served. And so I hope that this talk today will maybe borrow from that model and highlight some principles of ministry that for you may be liberating. That's what happened to me. When I was pastoring, for the 15 years I was a local church pastor, I was always trying to do what I could to help the non-believing community make their way to me onto my turf. And from time to time, I would be on their turf at work, you know, for an occasion, or I'd make my way to a wedding or to a funeral or to a party, a Christmas or a birthday party, something from a neighbor or some unbelieving person that I was in relationship with. But it was an occasion. It was an event. And it wasn't a way of life for me. And so one of the things that I became interested in was how I could find my way to penetrate communities where non-believers lived and worked and played. And my first step into an opportunity to do that was in the world of motorsports. I had no background in motorsports whatsoever. But it was an opportunity for me to join people where they lived and where they worked and where they played. And what I learned there was a lot of important lessons for my life as somebody that wanted to share the gospel with others, how to do it in a different setting, in a different way. When they would come to my church and I would stand on the platform or behind the pulpit and declare the gospel, I would hope that the congregation members would bring their friends and bring their guests to Easter service or Christmas service or maybe that evangelism Sunday that we would highlight. And it would happen on occasion, or every now and again there might be somebody that would visit the church. But I really found a deep longing in my own soul to make my way into greater relationships with those outside of the faith, and they lived outside of the church. And so when I was given an opportunity to join the world of motorsports, which I had no background in, and so for some of you, this is not a sport, a conversation about motorsports, I hope. It was a dynamic environment for me to learn how to do ministry in a different space other than just the church. But for you, it may be something else. It may be another place that God will give you an opportunity that will open up a door to go into that space and create kingdom and ministry opportunities to share the gospel and to love unbelievers. So if you find your way into that place, if you're looking for that kind of an opportunity, after today, if you say, God, I want that kind of field of ministry, to where I can be where they live, where they work, where they play, and be in relationship with them on their turf to share the gospel and to share the love of Christ with them, then I hope that some of the things that we'll talk about today will maybe frame the way you think about how you're going to approach those that are outside the faith. So I will tell you, some of you are probably way more effective than I am in this exercise of sharing the gospel with others. All I can do is kind of share from the point of reference and my own experiences as it related to working in the world of motorsports and now at a university campus. So for those of you that are not familiar with the university systems in the United States, we have state institutions and we also have private Christian institutions. When I visited in 2014, really 13 and 14, visit around the UK and learned that there weren't the same kind of institutions like I was working in. And so in our institution, we have a wide and huge opportunity to share the gospel and to have students who are believing students that are following Jesus, believing students who are drifting, and unbelieving students who are there for just a program of study. So my current field of ministry is the university campus. We have 15,000 students that are ground traditional, and we have 65,000 online students. So I am in a very similar environment to where I get to live with those who are outside the faith as well as those who are believers and following Jesus. So for you, you may have a space where you are in relationship with non-believing people on a regular basis. And if that's the case, amen. If you're not, and you're looking for an opportunity, I hope that some of the things that we'll talk about will begin to help you frame a little bit of how you're going to step out of the comfortable confines of the fellowship of believers into the more difficult environment of being a believer in an environment where maybe the faith is not appreciated or respected, but may find value at certain points in time. So remember that thought, because we're going to circle back to what gave me the greatest moment of opportunity within those non-believing settings, and we'll come back to that in a minute. So I want this to be a bit of a conversation, but I do have some things that I'm very passionate about that I want to kind of put on the table for conversation and for consideration when it comes to this idea of ministering to unbelievers and reaching out to them. So we'll just jump to the next slide here. Here is how I framed the basic underpinnings or the foundational elements of ministry in non-believing settings that I learned in the world of motorsports that I think are true for many places where you might find yourself in relationship with non-believers. The incarnational approach, meaning that it's not on our turf, but we go and embed ourselves in places where non-believers live and work and play. And so I hope that you will find ways to take the ministry of Jesus Christ, to take His love, to take the gospel to places where you can be in relationship with Him on a regular, ongoing basis. I remember when I was pastoring my second church, and across the street from my church was an industrial complex with all kinds of office buildings and small businesses. And I remember walking outside the front part of the church property and looking at those that were over there and wanting them to come over here. And I couldn't figure out how to get them to come to where I was. And I wrestled with that. We tried all kinds of sports events on our campus, Bible studies that might attract them to come to our campus. We did everything we could to create an experience that they would want, so they would come to where I was. And it was frustrating. And we had, you know, we had some level of success. But for the most part, I stood on my side of the street and, you know, come to me, come to me. Until I started working in motorsports, then I learned that going to where people live, did I have much greater opportunity to share the love of Christ in a setting where there was not much of that. And so that's where I learned that going and embedding myself in a community, in a neighborhood, in a tribe, however you want to describe it, can be extremely powerful. So this ministry model is based upon kind of an incarnational approach. Secondly, it would be relationally oriented. How many of you here would describe yourself as an extrovert? How many of you would say you're more introverted? Yeah, the vast majority of us probably feel more comfortable with people that we know and that know us, and we're not going to be exposed in any way. And I am by nature an introvert. But my jobs over my life have required me to stand in front of people or to meet people. I'm very uncomfortable with that. I've had to learn that, and it's become a skill that I was not born with that I've had to learn. And it was very difficult for me to do that, even as a pastor, because even though I had the title, you know, as pastor, and people would come to me within the congregation, when I got outside of my comfort zone, it was very difficult for me to go and meet people that were very different than I was. That's why I think God had to nudge me into working in an industry that I didn't know anything about. I knew nothing about motorsports. I had no idea who were the stars, who were important people. And it was God's nudging to say, you need to go meet the gatekeepers of this community and figure out who you need to know that will give you kingdom opportunities. I had to learn where to stand in the garage, where not to stand, where to put my hands or where not to put my hands, to touch a car or to not touch a car. There are all kinds of things I had to learn along the way which were very important to that community of people that I didn't know. And it took me about 2 years before they finally said to me, in a matter of speaking, you're one of us. I can take you to the very spot where it seemed like the cloak of invisibility was lifted. I had been doing chapels for 2 years. They saw me in front of them, but I didn't feel like I was a part of the community until about 2 to 2.5 years later, when I was standing at a spot at Daytona Motor Speedway in the garage, and I could take you to that spot and put my feet in that place where I went, what happened? I've been here for 2.5 years. And I talked to somebody in the industry, and he said, you know, every driver needs seat time. Going around the trap, lap after lap, finding out where all the bumps and wrinkles are in that track, figuring out that car before you really can say you belong. You need some seat time. And so I needed some seat time within that community to figure out, you know, where I belong, what I should do, what I should not do. And it took me a while to learn that. I had to learn how to build relationships with key people in that industry that would give me the opportunity to access other people around that community. If they signed off on me, then it gave me access to other people. It was amazing how it worked. And that's true in your neighborhood. That's true in the businesses that God may give you opportunity with. There are certain people that will give us the sign-off to say you can move to a different point of access because you've passed this gate. You've passed this opportunity. Thirdly, with service focus. It's amazing to me how many churches only have service opportunities that help the church itself, and only the church. And I wonder what it would do to create ministry opportunities where we as the church or as the community or as the organization of the church are not direct benefactors. But it benefits somebody else, and only them. And one of the things I learned in this motorsports community was they all took care of each other. They loved each other. They watched out. They cried together. They celebrated together. Of course, there's competition. It's a part of the sport. But they were family. They raised their children at the track. They lost loved ones at the track. They had a depth of relationship that was very unique to their culture. In fact, is anybody here from Italy? I need a connection in Italy. Some of you may know MotoGP, which is the big motorcycle series here, and World Superbike. Nicky Hayden was hit on a bicycle while training, and he's in a hospital in Italy. And Nicky was just a young lad who was racing when I first started in motorsports ministry. And I would love to figure out how to make a connection to some in Italy that would go serve that American family who's in a hospital, away from home, with nobody to support them or love them. To my knowledge, there's no World Superbike chaplain to take care of that community. I don't know of anybody. MotoGP, there's not. Formula One, there was years ago, but it's difficult to break into those things. So learning how to find ways to serve those communities can be a great point of access for gospel opportunity. Lastly, is to be sensitive to crisis. So here's what I learned about God's opportunities for me with unbelieving people. Now, this may not be true of you, and you may want to debate this, but for me, what I learned about unbelievers, they had no use for my faith until they were in crisis. When they found themselves with a broken relationship, the loss of a job, the loss of their health, loss of whatever, and their life was in crisis, was a huge opportunity to do gospel ministry, to find an access point for relationship. And so when you go and you live with people who are doing work and they're working together, they're going to lose their relationships. They're going to lose their job opportunities. They're going to lose their health. And that can be a great opportunity to provide ministry to those who are in the unbelieving community. So for me, who's not an extrovert, but more of an introvert by nature, I needed a reason for me that had the title of chaplain to step forward and to provide a service. And that was the unique opportunity that I found within that culture, within that sport, that was the access point for those of us that were there to love and serve and to share the ministry that Jesus had given to us and was trying to flesh out of our life into the lives of others. So that's the model. That was the model that we had in motorsports that we use. It was based upon these four pillars, if you would, and this is what helped shape us. So I want to talk a little bit about what went into that for me as an individual and for those of us that found ourselves within that particular setting where non-believers made up the lion's share of the community. Number one was my own life experiences. It wasn't until I was probably in my mid-40s before I got involved with motorsports. And it was as a result of having a little tread wear, having had a little experience in just life itself, a few pains and aches and agonies along the way, before I realized that I had something to offer those outside the church beyond just what I knew. If I had some hurts and scars in my own soul, that seemed to resonate with those who are outside the faith. It's like, you have lived life. You have agonized like I have agonized. And that may not be true for everybody that I encountered, but at least it was important for me in my own personal development to realize that it took some life experience for me to be prepared for God to unlock that opportunity. Secondly was leadership responsibilities. I had pastored for a number of years before getting into that setting. And so to appreciate other leaders that were in that setting was really important for me to have an access point to the stakeholders or to the chiefs of those villages to understand the pressures and stresses that they were under to build a professional career or professional experience and professional opportunities. Lastly was formal training. I realized that what I learned in the church helped me to a certain degree in a setting that was very different than I had learned in my ministry training up to that point. And so these kinds of experiences that I had along the way, talking to people that dealt with crisis intervention, were enormous helps to me being better prepared to dealing with unbelieving people. So if you're going to step outside of the warm and friendly confines of the church community, I think one of the key elements that you're going to have to build around yourself are accountability sources. It is a difficult world to swim in the choppy waters of the non-Christian world that surrounds us. I realize some of you have perhaps worked in professional settings where it's difficult and challenging and it's more non-Christian than you would like. And often I've talked to people that would just love to escape that and get into church life where you can be around Christians all the time and talk about God all the time and study the scriptures into the wee hours of the night. And there's safety and security in vocational ministry settings, traditional church settings. So when you step maybe back out of that into the difficulties of being involved in a relational way with non-believers, it can get dicey. It can get difficult. It can be treacherous. And it's very important that we circle ourselves with brothers and sisters who will hold the ropes of accountability so that we don't find ourselves slipping off into behaviors that will be counterproductive to gospel ministry. Mentors. The guy that I learned from in motorsports was the founder of the organization that I work for. And he started a Bible study with a couple top drivers in a motorhome. And those two drivers at the time, that was in the late 80s, opened up the doors of opportunity for him to meet other people in the industry. And then he was an extrovert. He knew, traveled the world. He was the one that established the opportunity in Formula One a few years ago. Alex, who is now a chaplain in Brazil, was a Formula One driver at a certain point in time. And his opportunity came back to maybe have a ministry opportunity within Formula One if he would be willing to drive the medical car that follows the race cars on the first lap of the race. You know, in the event there's an accident, that medical car would be available. And that was Alex's opportunity to provide ministry within that setting if he would drive that medical car. And so that level of service that he had, an opportunity, was part of what he was mentored to do and how he mentored others that would come along. And Max, the guy that I learned from, found Alex down in Brazil and established this opportunity for him. But Max, who has since gone home to be with the Lord about 15 years ago, was a great mentor. A guy that knew how to penetrate non-believing communities. And so we'll need mentors along the way, and then teammates. If you are doing it as a solo operation, a one-person army, then it will get very lonely and it will get very difficult. So to find teammates that will join you in that will be just critical. So the development of a mission in this space needs to involve learning the marketplace, figuring out what to do. And I'll give you, for example, in the marketplace of the community that I was ministering in at the time, I learned that if I walked by myself through the garage or the paddock, I would talk to certain groups of people if I was by myself. However, if I walked through the garage with friends or with somebody with me, I would talk to a whole different group of people. If I stood by myself, people would cross my path and certain people would talk to me. But if I stood with somebody and stayed still, another group of people. So throughout a weekend, if I was going to touch all of these people that God had given me an opportunity with, I'd have to walk by myself, walk with others, stand by myself, stand with others, at strategic times during the weekend in order to have contact with everybody in my community. There were places where every crew member in the garage or in the paddock would come to a certain gate to check in. So if I stood here and they walked through there, I got to wave at everybody. Some of them I would talk to. I would shake their hands. Sometimes I would nod. Whatever it was. Sometimes they just see my shirt with the organization that I work for. Sometimes it was just them seeing me and not even acknowledging me, but just knowing that the person who is here to do all that ministry stuff, he's around. Just so they saw me. So wherever God's going to lead you to do this kind of ministry means you'll have to figure out what that marketplace is like and where your opportunities will come from. Secondly, was prayer and faith.
May I just ask you? Was this a ministry? You were sent into this ministry by a church, or were you paid for doing this work, or was it an employment?
It was. It was a full-time position that I had with an organization. So in the States, they call local churches and then parachurch ministries. You call them parachurch in Europe? We have parachurch ministries that were outside the church. So this organization hired me. My church paid me before. Now this organization paid me. So the sanctioning body of this organization allowed us access. So I had a hard card. You know, this gets me places here. Within that sport, there was a hard card I wear around my neck. And if I showed that hard card, I could go anywhere. So the organization paid me to do this. So with that name on my shirt, I'd walk in. Like in motorsports, everybody had a shirt, who you work for, who your sponsors were. Jerusalem, see? And so you could be identified by the shirts that you wore, the hard card that you had around your neck. So it gave you access and relationship opportunities. And sometimes it was an identifier. So, great question. So, prayer and faith. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I just walked around the garage and prayed with people or for people with my eyes open. So, in that setting, there were non-believers who were very reticent, very hesitant to be seen with the God guy, with the chaplain, with the religious, you know, fanatic. And so, in our garages, we had these stacks of tires, four stacks of tires, and I would stand on that stack of tires and counsel, pray, teach scripture, be seen, just hang around. There are stacks of tires all over the garage, and it was a common meeting place for everybody in the industry to stand by a stack of tires. And I remember one of the guys that had worked in the industry for a long time told me that, you know, it's very difficult for some of these non-believing guys to meet with us who are chaplains, because when we pray for them, we'll kind of go into prayer mode. You know, we drop our heads and we put our hands around people, very church-like. Well, motorsports, sometimes you can embrace others, but it's a very, you know, how would you say, it's not a huggy-feely sport, right? And so we would learn to pray just with our eyes open. Brother, can I pray for you? Or friend, or John, can I pray for you? I'm just going to pray for you now. God, help my friend John. Take care of him. Do you think God hears that prayer? Of course he does. And so that non-believing person that's looking at me in the eyeballs and hearing me talk to my Heavenly Father, I'm telling you, that's sacred ground for that individual. And sometimes I have found non-believers to treat the prayer experience way more sacred sometimes than believers do. I find myself doing that same thing. You know, when the pastor says, let's bow our heads in prayer, you know, I'm checking my phone and, you know, I'm seeing what time it is, right? Non-believers are very respectful. I found them to be very respectful if they will allow you to pray for them in that space to pray. And boy, they will. I remember this open wheel race in Long Beach Grand Prix. It's kind of a knockoff of the Monaco Grand Prix. Not quite like Monaco, but it's Long Beach. So I'm there with my two little boys holding their hands. This is about public prayer. So I'm holding my two boys. We stand up. They're going to offer an invocation before the race, the prayer before the race starts. So I'm just a fan at this point. I'm learning. I've just started in motorsports. I've never really gone and sat in the grandstands before. I have my two little boys with me. So they said, would you please rise for the invocation? I thought, oh, this is great. I get to watch how all the fans handle this public prayer moment. So I have my boys, and I said, bow your heads, boys. And so they bow their heads to pray. And there's a guy sitting over here, huge, a mug of beer. And he takes off his hat to put it over his heart. And he's getting ready to bow his head. And he does. He bows his head. And the guy on the microphone, which is on the other side of the track, begins to pray. And he gets he's trying to be funny in his prayer. Have you heard these guys that think that they need to kind of entertain a little bit so the people listening to them will like them because they're hip and cool or whatever? And so he's doing this on the microphone. I'm going, oh, no, what? And I look at this guy over here, and I can tell he's really not a churchgoer. And so he's got his hat over his heart, and he's got his big mug of beer, and he looks up, and he goes, puts his hat back on and sat down. As he's listening to this prayer, because there was no sacredness in the way the invocation was being offered. And then when the prayer was finished, he stood back up, took his hat off, for the national anthem. And I learned that day that sometimes prayer and faith can have a dramatic impact in the context of non-believing people, more than we sometimes think. Thirdly, support systems. Finding people that will support us in this effort. Those that will financially support us, prayerfully support us, that will come to our settings to just be with us, to be a friend when it feels a little overwhelming in that kind of a setting. And then lastly, in that particular setting where I was, the motive for being there was really, really important. I found a lot of folks who had maybe a sports ministry interest because they were enormous sports fans. And they saw it as a way of gaining access to the celebrities of their sports. And their motivation for doing it was really impeded and caused barriers for the effectiveness of the gospel because of their interest in the sport more than the interest in gospel work, more than the interest of kingdom impact. And so I think when people get involved in certain settings, whether it's something as high profile as sports or motorsports or whatever, the motive needs to be considered. Why am I doing this? Is it because I really love this activity? Or is it because I really see that God has opened up a door of opportunity for the gospel to go forward into places where the gospel does not rest now? So we need to check our hearts and say, God, why am I doing this? Why do I do this? Why am I involved in this opportunity? In the United States, we have fallen, in my opinion, we have fallen victim in church work to what has been termed the attractional model, to build an attractive church experience that people would want to come and join in. And I think that the incarnational model, which is what Jesus modeled and what he lived, was to come to us and meet us where we were in our greatest need. And I think if we could learn how to do that, that the gospel would have much greater reach into those lives of that are beyond the reach of the church. And so God bless you for being here. God bless you for your ministry opportunities that you have with unbelieving people. I trust that they will see Christ's love in you and they will hear of his salvation in Jesus Christ clearly from your life and from your word.